what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through another gelatinous and low-calorie week. Welcome to the proverbial super nachos of poetry. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I am not your humble host. In fact, I'm slightly narcissistic at times.
Slightly.
I am Michael Amade. I'm here with JT.
Good evening.
And J. Todd is not able to be with us tonight. He's dealing with a family matter. Mm-hmm. And we ask, and I'm sure I can speak for everybody in our family, as well as the people on the show, that our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family, and we are here for him 100%. So that being said, JT and I are here to help you share your poetry with the world this evening, as we have for
a long time now.
2.5 years now, yeah. And it's just going to keep going, man. I mean, that's a cool thing. We're so excited to have you here. We're so excited to have you join us and be able to share things with us. So tonight we're going to be doing segments like we had last week, where we're going to do a call, five people through.
Yep.
And then we'll do the next segment. And we're going to have no repeat callers until we've really exhausted that. And then we're going to do one segment at the very, very end that will be a return call in another poem.
Yep.
Okay? So anything special you happened to you this week, man?
No, nothing actually special
happened. Nothing special happened.
Nothing special. I went to work. I got home.
God, you're boring.
I got to mow the front yard.
You know what's exciting right now?
You're drinking coffee out of a ninja mug.
Out of a ninja mug. That, dude, I got to be honest with you. This ninja mug is probably one of the coolest things I own. But it's cool in a way that, I don't know, I kind of like to keep to myself.
Yeah.
It's good at being invisible. It's kind of keep it in the corner here.
We do have sponsors, right?
We do. And they're amazing sponsors as well. First of all, let's go back. Let's do it in reverse order than how we normally do, okay? Oh, I know. It's pretty crazy. So the first thing we're going to look at here is we're going to look at naturebox.com. Now, we always talk about this. You want to be able to live a long life. You want to be able to feel healthy. You want to be able to feel focused and energetic and able to get through your day. But not only that, but being able to provide the most value you can for the people in your life, to create the most art you can in the highest, most functioning way possible. Nutrition's a big part of that. And so to that end, one of our sponsors is NatureBox. Have amazing food, GMO-free, no fructose corn syrup, no trans fat, really high-quality stuff. And you get it sent to your house. It's snacks you can just bring with you on the go, or you can have them at home for your family. Really worth checking them out. Click on the banner ad on our page to go there and tell them that we sent you. Also, Good Morning Snore Solution.
Oh, yeah.
JT, do you snore?
Oh, and do I.
Do you snore sometimes when I'm singing during the show?
Oddly enough, no.
Not yet. It's quiet.
I can't get comfortable enough.
If someone's being that loud, it's hard to feel like you can add to the noise.
No, I can definitely add to the noise and snore. I have no problems with that.
Yeah. Well, so Good Morning Snore Solution is something to help you be able to get a better night's rest, because if you're snoring, you're also not getting the kind of oxygen you need. And so barring going to, you know, a medical practitioner, you know, needing a snore machine, everything like that, this is a nice step along the way. Mm-hmm. So Good Morning Snore Solution, definitely check it out if that's an issue you're running into. And then last but definitely not least, KNET Books. You can rent textbooks. So if you're a student, if you're going to class, or if you're just someone who's crazy like me and you actually like to read textbooks, because for me, they're great. It's a lot of great information put in one book and heavily condensed. go to Knet Books. You don't, they're really expensive to buy.
They are.
You can rent them. You can check it out, and you can you know, you can read to your heart's content before sending it back. So check it out, Knet Books. You can click on any of these banner ads to go to the sponsor site on the main page. Now let's you want to just head into the poetry?
Sure.
Let's do this. Let's try to do the show proud, okay? So okay. We're going to be taking calls here in just a moment at 720-240-9766. That's 720-240-9766. Ready? And taking the first five, call now. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, we're back. We have our first five. Definitely not our last five.
No.
But our first five,
yes,
for the evening. And we have some great hitters.
And I apologize to any caller I wasn't able to get to right away, because that was a fast song for me, and I had to explain something to a new caller.
Well, we were having some lag here on the computer, and too, computer so lag, we're just kind of freaking out. So if you didn't get through, don't worry. You're going to get a chance. Just listen and wait for our next segment. Call in again. And even if you don't get in then, try the next one. We will get you in. We've got this design so we can do that, okay? Now, one thing I do want to cover before we go into the poetry.
Yes.
Is we really are trying to streamline the show so we're focused on the poetry aspect when we're in those segments. And there are some issues, and it's not that we don't want to hear it, but there are some issues where sometimes we'll have people call in and, you know, just start jumping into promoting something without, you know, asking if it's cool,
right,
or going off on some rant that's not poetry.
Right.
Okay. So here's the caveat I'd like to throw out there. If you're going to promote a book, write a poem promoting the damn book, put it in the work. Okay. Cause then you can do it. But if people are jumping in promotions or we're going on a rant, unfortunately, if it seems like it's heading that direction, we're going to have, cause we're looking at the time, we're going to have to cut things off, or we'll jump in and try to stop it and have you read. We're not going to be, you know, jerks about it, but we definitely want to make sure that we're focusing on the poetry in the show.
Yeah.
So let's just go right into it so we can focus on it and I can shut up. We have in New York a longtime caller, a longtime friend of the show. We have Lorraine.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I have to apologize for last week. And not because I'm blonde, so I apologize to anybody out there who's blonde and listening. And I'm going to read Epitaph, but just as a prelude, there are two blondes talking, and one says to the other, "What do you think is closer, Florida or the moon?" And the other blonde says, "Duh, can you see Florida?"
Oh, very good. And yet another reason why blondes are my favorite.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding.
So many jokes, you know? It's like Polish jokes, you know? It's,
well, you
never
know,
run out.
And strangely, when they mix together, it's amazing.
Polish blondes. Gee, I never thought of that.
You never
really
thought of Polish blondes? Come on.
I don't think there are any, but then, you know.
That couldn't be. That's an anomaly.
That's the root of the problem. Forgive the pun. Okay.
The dark roots of the problem. All right, what do you have for us?
The root of the problem, right.
Oh, terrible. All right. What do you have for us, Lorraine?
Oh, and by the way, I know that guy with the jacket with half watches and half scarves. I've met him.
Oh, you met him? Yeah, he's a good guy.
So, he
knows how to get things.
Okay, this is called Epitaph, and I said I was going to read this, so here we go. There is a closet somewhere, a place that writers share. We open it, observe what's there, moving cliches from one side and quotes to another, leaving a space in the middle, a space that is our own, a space we will fill with a unique word, a never-before-heard, fearless vision, a one-of-a-kind design that has our name on its label, a style no one else can copy, more than a name, more than a claim, it is an identity, a personal stamp, solely, wholly, totally ours. Others can open the closet and look at it, knowing it is ours. They may linger briefly, admiring what they see. Then, closing the door, they will take the impression, the feeling with them. It cannot be duplicated, reproduced, or replaced. It belongs to us. It is our contribution to the world, our lasting legacy, unchallenged, unchanged, unquestioned, it remains and becomes our epitaph. The end.
Wonderful job. I really like that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, wonderful
Thank
job,
you.
Lorraine.
What
did you think?
No, that's okay.
You hear the silence. I was motioning to him like, would you unmute the... No, never mind. Never mind. Let's just go off the rails since Jerry T.J. Todd's not
really?
Here.
Really?
Sorry.
Oh, no. My God. Lorraine, I'm not going to play this tape back from the archive.
Oh, trust me. This. You know what's funny is this. These things always sound like they're going to be horrendous until you listen to them afterwards, and you're like, that wasn't that bad.
Hard. No, really, it must be hard. You don't know when people are going to end, and everybody has their own ending. And most, I think people picked up, you know, the end, and that kind of, you know, clues you in. I didn't say that. I apologize.
No, it wasn't you.
And Lorraine, you got to understand.
It wasn't me.
Do you remember?
You were distracted.
You know, Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, there's a great line where he says, the suspense is killing me. I hope it lasts.
Oh, my
and
God.
And really, that's what the show is. It's just a never-ending ball of suspense that we live in until the show's over.
Well, I'm in suspense, so, you know, count me in. And
very good. Hey, wonderful
wherever
work.
Wherever that takes me, I'm going.
All right,
I'm
excellent.
On here for the ride. I'm here for the ride, so...
Anyhow, all right, Lorraine,
thank
you.
Are we going third hour, or
we're gonna do you know, 3, 4, 5 segments, whatever we need to get people to call through, and then we'll do one more where everybody can call in and share another poem if you'd like. So,
so cool.
Just stay tuned, okay?
I will do that. Thank you so much, guys. Good to hear you.
All right,
okay.
Good night. Thanks. Well, that was Lorraine in New York, and so now we're going to a new caller.
Yes,
named Rond.
I think it's just Rod.
Rod.
It was hard to hear.
Is that
hear.
A typo? Oh, okay.
It was difficult to hear, so
right.
I wanted to make sure
okay.
that we get him correctly. He
you
is
don't.
From Alabama.
Hello, Rod, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, okay. Now, let me ask you this. Is it Rod or Rond?
It's Rodney. But
Rodney. Oh, so the N comes after the D. That's what happened.
Yes, I've actually called before. It's just been a little while.
That's okay. I thought I recognized your voice. That's great. Okay, so what do you have for us tonight, man?
By a small town.
Okay.
And do I need to read it to you first?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. It's by a small town. Real good troubadour who don't play. Lyrical, like, real deal troubadour who don't play. Lyrical guru screwed by flyaway. University grad earned some hard knocks. 110% poetry rocks. Train of thought off the chain. Bye bye later, haters, you're insane. Cowboy uprise, sunset down. World famous poet by a small town. Long lost highway, big star bound. Hot rod rhyming up and rhyming down. Big dog, top gun number one. Sam Shady, come get you some. Prime time, long gone, broken heart. Eminem, rhyme time, picks you apart. Like bad weather when lightning strikes. Nights by candlelight, he writes. Long shot, underdog, time cat. Heavy duty lumber, mighty big bat. Someone get nasty on the phone. Rhyme time, Mustang, that's his yelling on. Later, little Wayne, long gone by. White guy, don't lie, pretty fly. Now, who all do I have left? 2 vs. 1 all by myself. What up, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre? Like Dirty Harry, make my day. Cowboy up, ride sunset down. World famous poet by a small town. Long lost highway, big star bound. Hot rod running up and running down. No fear, big dogs, here he comes. Fat Jack written several number ones. Big dog bite, no single bark. Stupid Cupid, number one broken heart. Cowboy up, ride sunset down. World famous poet by a small town. Long lost highway, big star band. Hot rod knocks lights out, always upside down.
Yeah. Great flow there, man. Love that. That was cool.
You like that?
Yeah, I did, man.
Yeah, I've been nominated for some National Poetry Awards in New York in September. If on Facebook, you go to my page and find the form. It's got to scroll down just a little bit. Jay Jones posted it last for me. Just click on it. It takes less than 5 minutes to nominate somebody.
Sounds good, man. Can you post that to the World Poetry Open Mic Facebook page and people can look for it there?
I can try to. I don't have a laptop around. I'm on my phone. And sometimes it'll
sure.
let me just share them. And sometimes it'll let me share them, you know, to the friends or my group and stuff. I don't know what it does.
You know what, man? Try this. If you jump on there, just put a comment down and just try to put the URL in it where we can find it and just hit that. That should work.
I should write in this thing. I get off the phone and I get back on Facebook in a few minutes.
Sounds good, man.
Share it again. And if it don't, I can't share it to the open mic page or to another person's page, it'll be the first thing on my page.
All right, man. Well, everybody take a look for them and we'll go from there. Rodney, thanks so much for sharing, man.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's a strong start. We had Lorraine.
Yeah.
We had Rodney. You know what I feel like? And even though he would argue with this, I feel like we need a bit of sophistication. Sophistication more in the form of a very nice accent.
Oh, what do you think? Is that what it is?
Well, the poetry is actually very, very sophisticated as well. And not that our other callers have not been sophisticated.
No.
But there's something about the accent of someone like Titus. Titus, are you there, sir?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, brilliant, thank you. Yes, nice to get on.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you.
Usually. The show seems to be very popular. That's one thing. That's a good thought.
It's a good thing. We're trying to find ways to make it so it's still open for everyone. And there's kind of occasionally has to become an algorithm of logistics to make that happen. But I'm glad you're able to get in.
I think, like with me, I'm trying to find reads which are not so long so that others can get on. You know, give you time to get others on anyway.
Well, thank you. That's very thoughtful.
Anyway,
yes. What do you have for us, sir?
Right. You know these contests you get sometimes. They're called word banks. It's very good if anyone's got brain block, and this came from one of these contests. So you'll find some strange words in this one. It's East of Eden, the title of this poem.
Mm.
Its location is at Kashmir Point between Kashmir itself and Pakistan. It's East of Eden.
All right.
What bunkum is this, I cannot ask, to speak the language, just a smile. Antidescent to survival, it's the task tiredness has. It distributes along the while. Lycanthrope, becoming a man again, belonging to where roams the lost art, living, where worlds apart, our host retains, being fastidious, a component part to killing. It was nature in the main. Recidivate, recreates from its feature, to interact with the devil, to subsist from the quagmire, the kind of creature revealing itself, it succumbs from a mist. Prosaic, the method of understanding, to gulp across the border in kaftan, to making of man, women standing slave to a son towards naive Buddha. The murmuring of love commanding iridescent revelry to a term acquired far from this self-reasoning, bringing comfort of the water my love desired. In Gorigali, Carus, at what level of integrity remains from this war, vivacious still bathing and I to revel comfort laughter, a macaroon to gnaw. Cleansed now with some jodhpazon, concealed with the dirk and epaulette, truculent to an endearing hidden upon trust, understanding feet silent inlet. And that's it, so that's the best I could muster, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's just the best, huh? Titus, it's always a pleasure, and that was no exception. Thank you for calling and sharing with us.
Yeah, and best wishes to JT.
Absolutely. Our thoughts are all with him, and I know that our family, including you and people around the world, are actually all sending him good thoughts and his family good thoughts.
Have a good day. Well, it's morning here, but have a good evening, everyone.
Well, you have a wonderful day, and we will have an amazing evening ourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye. Talk to you next week. Well, that was Titus in the UK.
Yeah.
So let's travel from the UK. We're going to come back to the United States, but we're going to come back to the place where many people came into the United States from Europe, from all over the world. Do you like that transition?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Not horrible. Ellis Island happened there. What was bad about that, man?
Nothing. Nothing. Sorry.
All the immigrants didn't think it was terrible.
I'm sorry, sir.
All right. Thank you. No. So we're coming back into New York City to Steve.
Good evening.
The evil presence himself has graced our show. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. First off, just to be serious for a moment, yes. Prayers to J. Todd's family. And I'm sure I speak to everybody about that. And Michael, I have to correct you. I have a feeling that there are millions and millions of Americans who would not say that New York is part of America.
And are most of them in New York?
The Upper West Side. And they agree with people from Texas.
The Upper West Side wants to secede. That's what's happening.
Oh.
Great show this evening. Rodney, I had never heard you before. Please call again as often as possible.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
Tight off. It was really good. There was a little bit of, I don't know whether it was feedback on my computer or there was something with his phone.
Yeah,
but
something happened.
What I was able to hear was outstanding. I loved his rhythm. I loved his flow. Yeah.
We had a little. There was a little bit of feedback in the broadcast, but it shouldn't be on the podcast version of the show. So if you guys want to hear it again, come back and check in, and you can hear it that way.
I look forward to it because what I've heard and was able to figure out, outstanding. And it was great to hear Tony. I just feel badly that I have to follow him.
Yeah. Yes, but I think you're up to the task if anybody is, Steve.
I want what you're drinking.
It's coffee. It's out of a ninja mug, if you didn't hear that earlier.
and with that, this one doesn't have a title yet. It is a work in progress. But I like the way it sounds, even though it could use a little bit of something. Long past lonely and leaning in toward lost, I slide the city streets, a solitary searcher seeking salvation in the arms of a like-minded sinner, another refugee seeking respite from regret, seeking solace from the death of midlife dreams. Crickets.
Spellbound crickets. Steve.
And just in case my wife and children are listening, poetry is not autobiography. The characters in my poems are much more interesting than I am and have much more exciting lives than I do.
You know, Steve, I think that's a good clarification to have. But right when you started the poem, I think it was what, 2-3 lines in.
Not even that. It was like two or three words.
I look at JT and I go, that's the Irish lyrical, you know. And that's, and when I try to write lyrics as well, I feel like my Irish background and my upbringing and exposure to all of that Irish Catholic background, I should say, really informs
me. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph Nicolene. Are you talking about the guilt?
The guilt is American to me as 4th of July and fireworks.
Of course it is. And now for feeling guilty despite all of the great things in your life. 3 Hail Marys and 3 Glory Bees.
Because you're not worthy.
Indeed you're not. Let me hang up. Oh, we got to keep this focused. Yeah. And there are some great writers on here. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, guys, and thank you again for everything you do.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye.
Boy. Wow. So, it's kind of strange for me to be sitting in this seat.
It is. It's really weird. My feng shui. Sorry.
Your feng shui?
My feng shui. See, you got me going off on it now.
So this is what we're going to do. We have one more caller in this segment, and then we have a submission, and then we're going to go do another segment.
Yes.
And when we come into the next segment, we're actually going to have a guest co-host.
Awesome.
And it's actually going to be from our podcast, Radio Angry, that we do. So yeah. You'll be hearing the three people that do that podcast on this show. We'll be bringing in, and I'll announce her in the next segment. However, let's go to our final call-in poet.
However,
a legend in his own right. We have
final
Chris. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, listen to Steve, and by God and golly, that was appropriate. laddie. This one is right where he left off. The title of it's called Church.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah. And it was written long ago, but remember, I asked you guys to move me from fourth to fifth for a reason. We're still rewriting this one. So, it's old but right. Church. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, an old-style Catholic church, child huge, an adult digger. Pink, brush-painted concrete stucco exterior. A wide main stairway leading to high-arched doors opening into a wide vestibule. There are two sets of stairs, one set leading up to a second floor. The main church reserved for Sundays and unique occasions. Then onward to a sequestered balcony, the other set leading downward to a basement vestibule, where centered is a small altar used for daily morning services, quiet time. I walked downstairs, paused at the holy water font, reached, and touched within. In nomine Patris et Filii, I muttered the old words to the sign of a cross, forehead, lips, and ending across my heart. Some things never seem to change, and yet nothing is really ever as it was. I don't remember crossing the worn carpeted aisle, moving forward past pew after empty pew. I was just there, standing below the aged, life-worn statue. So many Hail Mary full of graces, echoing and echoing within my mind. Lights, shadows. Sounds so loud the silence is deafening. Where am I? Is now? And the arms are open wide, spread fully across the niche. Bless me, Lord, for I've sinned. But wait, that isn't right. Is it right? That isn't why I'm here. I need to shake the echoes, shake them from my head, need to breathe, need to, what do I need, why? Look, damn it, look, over, around, and under, through, what is it, that's right, for you, for now, looking in the mirrored glass, now. Side to side, and then wrought iron stands, 3 feet wide by 2 feet deep. Rows of ruby glass holders, tier after tier, like miniature stairways to an unending temple of lost hopes. Each stand set, edge to edge with the next, chest high to a child, and yet now waist-high to all the memories. The candle holder ranked and stacked row upon row upon row, column after column, hundreds, thousands, endless crosses in my mind, from the present echoing over, ever into the unknown past, and forever futures. Perhaps a dozen more shimmering, the flickering flames consuming the wicks and wax, burning away the dreams, burning and holding, drawing me closer, closer still, growing and growing within my eyes, me, my breath, my eyes, my. Each candle is a life, you know? A thought, memory, person, father, mother, child, friend, love. Some of the holders were empty, but for the smudges of age, burned wicks inside, and along the bottoms of the frosted glasses. In others were unblemished votive candles, each awaiting their turn to be the pyres of non-existence used to mark the emptiness we hold inside. I cried. I didn't mean to. I hadn't come here to cry. Didn't know why I'd come here at all. After all, but I cried. There's a lot of good in the church. but it can't begin to overshadow the pains and guilt we try so hard to leave within the doors that close behind us as we leave. Hurt in the church. Who'd have thunk? A lot of I miss yous, and I'll be goods. And please, please, pleases. Echoing every day from thousands upon thousands of us, lost through the lambs of our God, who took away the sins of the world but had no mercy for us. And yet here I was crying, watching the flickering flames burn and burn and burn. And I awoke. Here I was looking out life-colored windows from my ceiling again, knowing things that are meant to be remembered. Some things really aren't dreams, even when they are, you know? Anyway, Steve really hit that.
Wow. You know, that was a great continuation. I think we had a theme going on here.
Well, I was glad I came after Steve.
Yeah, that played out nicely.
Did.
And wonderful job, Chris, as always. We always love having you on the air and love hearing your contributions every week.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate being here. And I look forward to hearing Steve and Titus and Philip and Barb and everybody else that comes on.
So do we. And I know that J. Todd, too, I mean, this is so hard for him to not be. I would bet you that he's listening to the show now. I think it's so hard for him to not be here tonight that, you know, he would have been here under any circumstance that he could in a responsible way. But I know that even if he isn't listening to the show, he will listen back and he will love to know that we all got together and were able to do this.
Well, I wish him well, and I'm thinking of him and keeping him in some good thoughts right now.
That means a lot.
You guys take care and bring some new people on. Let's hear some more voices.
That's what we want.
Do.
All right. Hey, Chris, thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Right. You take care now.
Yep. You too. Well, that was Chris. Well, we've had one heck of a segment.
Yeah,
Lorraine, Rodney, Titus, Steve, Chris. That's a solid lineup.
I can't wait
to see what we have for the next segment. But first, I'm going to do one submission, which is sent in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. But, of course, you've been to that site, because if you're listening, that's how you got there. Yeah. But you just put it in our contact segment. You can send in if you're unable to read, or maybe you're a little bit nervous. We can do it for you. So this one is from a poet named Steve Junke, who's called in before, and it's from a book called Poems from a Soldier. Now, he was an airman first class, and he was 20 years old in 1970, and he was in Vietnam. So this is just the small prefix to the poem. The term short in Vietnam meant you had 30 days or less to serve. The closer you are to your departure date, the shorter you would be. Everyone knew how many days they had left, and your number was a way of greeting each other. Someone would shout, short, and then you'd hear numbers, 22, 15, or 6. Guys with over 30 days would not speak, but only listen. This is called Freedom Is Not Free. They say I'm short and homeward bound. Then why is there no happiness found? 1 year here will soon be o'er. I'll walk to that freedom bird door. But I can't relax, no letting down. Why? Because to let down may mean to die. It's like a dream. Can it really be? Everyone cheers as we fly by, but thinking of friends below just makes me sigh. God be with you. I know your fears. I didn't know it then, but the next time I'd see some of you would be 20 years. The plane gets me home and I kiss the ground. The family I left is the same one I found. We embrace and hug and cannot separate. The difference in life and death is only fate. When I was there, I dreamed of home. Now I am here, but how my mind does roam. When I was young, I was taught at school that freedom wasn't free and about the golden rule. I know them both, but one came hard. To learn it, I had to leave my own backyard. And that's Freedom Is Not Free by Steve Jahnke from Poems from a Soldier. God, he just kills me every damn time.
Yeah. it is really good. It's really well written, and
it's introspective in a very human way. And I think he avoids being elitist about it, but he tells you where it is and what it meant to him. And I think it's cool. He's telling you instead of what it looked like, he's telling you what it felt like.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And that's something I love about poetry as well.
Yes.
All right, guys. So we're getting ready to head into segment number two. We need 5 new callers who have not called in tonight. And if you can't get in this one, there'll be another couple segments, so don't worry about it, okay? But give us a call, 720-240-9766. That's 720-240-9766. We need 5 starting now.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And that was Professor Lenny C., the late, great Lenny C.
Yes.
Rock the mic. Don't waste your time.
Our World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month.
Right. And when you suck, nothing can save you except for having awesome people around you.
That's right.
Because sometimes they prop you up. I've had that happen many, many times. And then in turn, I've actually propped people up many, many times.
Yes, you have. And I'm sorry. Yes, you actually have. You're a very supportive person.
Thank you very much. I'm kind of like a wonder bra to my friends sometimes.
I wasn't going to go there.
We're back in the second segment. I want to introduce a guest co-host. She occasionally comes in when one of us is gone.
Yep.
And the three of us together are the hosts of. Well, you're actually the main host, JT.
Right.
And we're kind of the co-host of Radio Angry, which is a film review podcast that we do.
Yes.
And you can find that at artradiocollective.com. And then you just click on the Radio Angry logo there.
Yep. And you'll find all the
podcasts that we do. Yeah. And we're doing more all the time. Stuff. We did a lot last week, and we're going to be doing more.
Yeah.
And it's worth looking into. But without any further ado, we have Miss Christine on the air with us. Hello.
Hello, darlings.
Happy to have you on the air. It's nice to have a female voice in here.
Yes. It is a change. No, it's a change of pace.
It is.
On Friday nights?
It is.
It is a change of pace.
I didn't think I would actually change your pace.
She's like a pacemaker.
I'm not going to go there. She's the nurse. She would know more.
No, of course she would know. Of course she will know more. Anyway, hey, so we're back in second segment.
I missed the first segment?
You did. You did. But you know what?
Just now.
Second segment's like second breakfast. It can be just as fulfilling. All right. So here we go. First of all, let's just jump right back into the poetry. We have our longest supporter, a great friend of the show. We have Dennis on the line. Dennis, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Hello, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello. So glad you could join us.
Yes, I'm glad I could be here, too. And sorry J-Tag couldn't be with us, but we do understand. We're keeping them in our prayers and thoughts.
That's all we can ask for. Thank you. It means more than you know.
Well, tonight I would like to share a poem that was written by Raj Kumar. He's had some trouble trying to get through,
right.
But I'm pleased that he has allowed me to share this poem with you tonight. May happens to be the birth month of a famous Indian poet. And this poem is about that poet. The title is Tribute to Tagore, written by Raj Kumar. Earth is so infinitesimal, just a rosebud in the epicenter of universe. Yet she is the best, most beautiful, where we thrive. Life blooms and dies. We nurture our childhood, youth, old age, in the light shown by you. We mimic the songs, tunes of birds, while playing on or singing your songs. Once in your poem, you addressed us as your readers beyond a century. Even after passing of a century and a half, We walk along the same path you once walked. In joy and happiness. To find solace, a shelter, a shoulder to rest upon in sad and dark hours. And that's the end of that poem.
Wonderful read, Dennis, and wonderful poem, Raj. Raj, I know you can hear he's had some technical problems getting into the show, and it's wonderful that you are able to show your support and read that way, Dennis. I mean, it's a great presentation. I'd be very honored to have you read some of my work, so that's an honor.
Well, thank you. You're much too kind.
That wasn't arrogant at all.
No, it wasn't.
No, on Michael's side, not on Dennis' side.
Like, yeah.
No, I would never call Dennis arrogant. Michael, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, thank you again. Let's get on some more poets, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. So wait, you come in and you start trolling the show? Is that what's going on now?
That's awesome.
Is that what
this
is?
Popped in and just smacked it down a little bit.
I'm going to call you out on a few things.
Hey, you said I was to change the pace. I'm changing pace.
That's really
because
changing.
Because now, all we got are women callers. You're in trouble now.
Ooh, it's all about the ladies, Michael. Here on World Poetry Open Mic.
Woo!
All right. So let's go to, you know what? I'm going to Texas. Mariah's in Texas.
Just please stop slamming your coffee cup.
It's
down.
A ninja. It's jumping. It's practice.
Oh, got it. Okay. Sorry.
Well, sometimes you need to practice. He's been eating a little too many cookies.
Hello to Mariah.
Hey, Mariah, are you there?
Somewhat.
from what? Huh? I was going to say from cookies, but you know, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are you, Mariah?
Hello.
Hello.
Whew.
What do you have for us this evening?
I will try. I'm a bit in need of help myself. I don't know how well that will go.
Okay, well, okay. We'll do whatever you need, so just do your best shot, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All righty. It's been a long week. This is called... It's a brevity piece called Graphite Mosaics. Her body folded towards itself in a makeshift shield, but minute hands of straggling clocks pierced her aging armor as she waited for her hero. She wrote the days away, drew graphite mosaics on white nights until her hope was covered in marbled gray smudges where she tried to erase what made her. End poem.
That was fast. I enjoyed that very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mariah, and I saw in the chat room you feel like you might not be around for later in the show. We hope you can stick with us, but if not, we understand and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. That was Mariah from Texas.
That's usually where she's from.
Usually?
Usually.
I don't know if it's usually. Usually is a strong word sometimes.
Well, she might be moving.
She could be moving.
I don't know.
She's probably moving
now.
Wow. All right. Hey, let's go. Let's talk to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara Arentrue, are you there?
Wow. All right. Hey, let's go. Let's talk to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara Arentrue, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hello. How are you this week?
Oh, you know, the usual. But
oh, that good. I remember last week, I was jealous.
Yeah, but unfortunately, some weeks are good and some weeks are just like... I think I should just let my poem say how I feel.
Okay. Fair enough. That's okay. I understand. So what do you have
some
for
things
us?
Have happened. No, some things have happened that just have made me so... You'll see in the poem.
Okay.
Okay, it's called Just Desserts.
Okay.
And I think this is kind of different from anything I've read, so be ready.
Okay.
Just Desserts. Anger in filth. treats my body, and I want to throw razor-sharp daggers into the one who caused it so he might suffer the agony, like being bathed in hell's spotlight of what he has caused me. I want to wash his face in the libel he has spewed and taint his soul with the lies he has blathered into my innocent ears, unchain the lion inside me and claw at his insides with the sharp claws of my venom, and wrap him in the jaws of my ferocious mouth until he realizes the loss of innocence and the dewy wonder of a sweet surprise. And as the pain cuts through him like a chef's knife through his vital organs and his life oozes out, I want to be there to watch as his life's blood leaves his body, and only his desiccated corpse is left to stand as a defendant for all who have incurred his brand of disdain and greed.
So,
you go, girl.
Barbara, that's what we would classify as a legitimate hate poem, and not in a bad way. I'm not saying, I mean, it is technically hate speech, but I think it sounds like, I don't think that would be a misplaced emotion with the intensity you're feeling at that.
Not with the intensity. I would have to, yeah. I have to give that one definite pass.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Because I could feel it all.
I know.
Well, it was also because I was looking at the two of you going, oh, yeah, I know where she's coming from.
Oh great.
Boy.
This was a horrible, horrible experience.
Yeah,
horrible.
It sounds like it.
And just so terrible that I can't even describe it and discuss it, but all I know is that I found a wonderful place called RomanceScams.com, which I know I'm not supposed to tell anybody about, but just know that if anybody has gotten scammed, that they should go there, because this was just awful.
It sounds absolutely terrible, and Barbara, I'm sorry you had to experience that. But
No, it's okay. No money exchanged hands.
That's good.
I think
nothing happened.
My dear, I think you described everything beautifully.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful poem. I loved it.
I think you were right to say that you were going to let the poem speak for you.
And it did.
And you let the work speak for itself. And that's actually very, very, very high place to come from.
Yeah. I actually wrote that like a minute before the show.
Holy cow.
Well done.
Holy cow. Wonderful, Barbara. Thank you so much for the
work
on
that
intense piece.
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh. Well,
that was
heavy.
Yeah, it was. But
that's part of what the show is, right?
That's right. Well, isn't poetry a little bit of emotion?
No.
Just a little.
Really, just a little bit?
Just a little.
You know, I try to keep things light. That's why I've been moving for a long time to do this show in a bouncy castle.
Yeah, that's going to be very difficult with the equipment, though. It's going to hurt.
Headphone microphones. And I could have a bra like Madonna did in the 80s when she'd be on stage.
Yeah, but then the bouncy castle would no longer be bouncy.
It'd be a flat castle.
Well, we make it soft. Never mind. Okay, anyway.
Keep going. Keep going.
No, we're not going. We're not going.
No, I meant to keep going.
Keep the show. Just keep moving forward.
Yes. Yes.
So basically you're trying to say keep on trucking? Okay. Hey, let's go to Oregon. Let's go to a great friend of the show in Ola. Ola, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. And thanks for joining us tonight. What do you have for us?
Well, I have one I wrote a long time ago, but, you know, that having the ability to interact with other people and poets, you really get, you know, you put a piece of yourself out there and somebody else gets to get a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, to see the emotion in Barbara, the poem that she just read, I think that is so cool.
Wasn't it?
Anyway, this one is called Poet.
Okay.
Poet, do you know what you've done to me? Even though you are not here, I feel your soul reaching out to me, calling to me. My heart aches knowing that I will only have you here in this world that we have created. Your words touch me deeply. I reach out and touch this cold screen, wishing it was your face, your lips, your heart beating beneath my fingers. When I am with you, our innocent talks turn to passionate desire. You are the first thing I think of when I awake and the last thing I think of before I go to sleep. I don't know what you look like, and I don't care. I don't want this feeling to end, not ever. I will always love you. I will always want you. And when it is time for me to go, I will look back and remember every word written, and I will never forget. End poem.
That was very nice. Great work, Ola. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Always appreciate your work and always appreciate your presence on the show. It means a lot to us.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys make a show for us. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Thank you. Well, that was Ola in Oregon. Now, should we travel across to New Hampshire? When you're ready, sir. For
thank you. I appreciate that. You know,
fire miles.
It is. If only we could collect them, right?
This the show, the way we do our callers, is the way my brain works. And I just came back from Mexico. But now we're in New Hampshire with Jay Lorien. Are you there?
I am here.
Hello. Thanks so much for calling us again. We're happy to hear your work.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm always glad to call in. Tonight I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, good.
Except that I lost the page.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Drat.
Which is never a good thing.
Stall!
Stall!
Stall. String it out. String.
I have a cane and a top hat. I'm dancing for you to stall.
It's amazing. If you could see it, it'd be amazing.
You should see these high kicks.
Yeah.
Ow! Okay.
They're out of control. I shouldn't have taken muscle relaxers.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Jay Lorien. I'm sorry. Let's get focused.
That's okay.
All right, here we go.
We're back on track now. The name of this one is Graveyard Crows.
Okay.
What is it, do you suppose, that goes on in the heads of crows that sit upon a graveyard gate and patiently commence to wait for spirits gone a-wandering? These crows in solemn pondering. They sit together, wing to wing, and sometimes they begin to sing in cawing cries the living here as pestilence upon the ear. But spirits drifting to and fro are savvy to the words of crow. The leaves are gone, the trees are bare, a chill has settled on the air, and here we are past Silence Gate, and so the hour has gotten late. Come on, come on, it's time to go if we're to beat the coming snow. But spirits rambling towards the door, hesitant, all wanting more of all the things they leave behind, and fearful of what they may find. But fate awaits them where they go upon the midnight wings of crow. They crouch behind their weathered slates and patiently resolve to wait, resolving simply to forgo the cautionary tales of crow. But cutting through the creeping mist, the crows continue to insist. The veil between the worlds is thin, but if you're late, you won't get in. Then wandering will be all you'll do if you stay here and can't get through. Come on, come on, the crows all cry. There are worse things than just to die. But spirits do what spirits do. Some wait too long and don't get through, and so unto the earth they're bound and left to molder on the ground. They cannot know the sweet repose that flew away on wings of crows.
Wow, that was really cool, and that really was evocative. And I even had people in the chat room mention, kind of reference the Edgar Allan Poe Raven. But I mean, there definitely was a Poe kind of feel to that.
There is a Poe kind of feel to that. Everybody always says that.
Oh, do they really? Do you think it's just association of large black birds? But
it could be.
But you're also touching on .
There's a mythology that crows and ravens and sparrows are actually harbingers of death. They transport spirits to the other world across the veil. So Poe got his inspiration from the same place I did.
I like story time.
You know, and it's kind of weird. One of the things that I noticed was when she was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I was hearing this right. You were speaking as a crow for a bit, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, so in that rhythm, it even sounded like a Nevermore.
Mm-hmm.
It had that. I wouldn't say the cadence, but
no, it was a cadence.
Had that pitch for it, so it was perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was great. A great delivery and great work.
I'm glad you liked it.
Wonderful. Hey, G. Lorien, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was Jay Lorien from New Hampshire. And now that we have gone to New Hampshire, we're going to do a submission.
Woohoo! So that was five.
That was five. That was five callers. So we're near the end of the segment. So if you're thinking about calling in, get ready. Don't call in yet.
Not yet.
But get ready.
Don't hit that last button yet.
Don't hit the last button. Pause. Control yourself, poets. My God. This submission, this is actually two very short submissions that run together, so it's really one piece.
Okay.
From Nina McKnight. The poem is called Four. Here's poem one. There are always ears and eyes for those who are most disturbed, lips and hands for those who are least adored. Silent cries fill loud and empty hearts. From brim to brim the obsessions begin. Hidden away behind the warmth of a door. Time for repeats. One, two, three, four. Here we go. Oh, not today. And here's poem two. Run, my friend. Nowhere leads to eternity, but go on. Run, my friend. Yet the journey awaits for a precious traveler. Run, my friend. The time has been granted, so hurry. Run, my friend. To the other side and back again. Run, my friend. Soon the collision awaits. No more running, my friend. And that was from Nina McKnight. Two pieces together. That was a submission that was sent in to worldpoetryopenmic.net to the contact form. That is the end of segment two. Do you like how these things move?
They move pretty fast, don't they?
But we're able to get people in so we can keep going. So we're getting ready to do segment three. If you have not read on the air tonight and you want to and you've been trying to call, get ready. Give us a call at 720-240-9766. That's 720-240-9766. We need five more starting now.
Hi, this is C.W. McCall. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
And we're back.
Sorry. Ooh,
what was that? Oh, you know, I haven't even been saying that.
We've been ignoring
the brand. Let me say it one time. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I don't even want to know what all of that is.
We're adding on.
Adding on what?
We're adding on sound effects to the end.
Sounds like a kaploosh. Oh. I don't even want to know where you even recorded that.
You know what's awesome? She just proved she hasn't listened to the show in like the last 2 months.
I know. I throw baseballs into the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway.
Every time it starts.
Whoa. Okay. Last time I saw Studio X, there was no swimming pool. When did one get put in?
Oh, it's right next door to it. I can hurl it.
It was an accident with him and I and a couple of sledgehammers.
Again.
It was fun.
That's what happened the last time with the Hadron Collider.
It is what happened last time. But you know, strangely, that's a pretty awesome effect to have to happen after a mistake with a couple of sledgehammers. Okay. So we're back here. We have actually only a few callers this segment. We're going to get to them quickly. We also have a submission, and we also have a special segment from someone here on our crew. And then we're going to do some music. Do a couple songs.
Yep.
After. The free-for-all.
Yep. The return engagement
segment, where if you have another poem to share, we'll invite everybody to call in.
Or a new caller can call in as well.
Yep. So let's just get right to it. We're going to Philip in Kentucky. Philip, are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
Wonderful, and we're glad you got through. Thank you for calling again. I know we got you during the call-ins for the second segment, and we had just filled up. But you're number one this time. So what do you have for us?
Oh, I know. I feel honored, and I also wanted to give a shout-out to Mr. Underhill and his family. I understand that there's been a bit of a family dilemma of some sort, and my thoughts are with him. I also wanted to give a shout-out to Barbara. She's a sweetheart, and I have met her via the chat room that leads into calling your radio show.
Oh, wonderful.
And I also wanted to give one more quick shout-out to Odette, who is in Brazil and is also listening to the show. And eventually, I think she may call in as well, at least by Skype. So enough of all that blah, blah, blah. I appreciate being number one here and in this third segment. And here's my poem. It has another one of those very long titles. It's a five-line title.
Yes.
So, this is for Mr. Underhill, who is always expecting a long title. The title goes, filing report number 1998, still several years away from marriage, barely alive with the dim, dumb hope that tomorrow I may resume my studies at the public library and later at the cheap coffee shop on the corner of Dyer and Lime Street. And here it goes. I live in misfit quarters for lackadaisical has-beens, our gruff voice face demeanors sketched rough, stubble cheeks and chins and mouths rife with spittle-lip profanity and rotting back-row molars, our rosy tongues tainted with stale red wine, the poor man's pre-dawn communion, unmistakable elderly rot wafting down the bare mortar and mason stone walls, maybe horse face or whiskey bob, though certainly not Rose Flambé, who finally conceded to being a man and castrated the evidence with a magnum .357. The drying, dying flowers and homily facsimiles scattered about the rec room. Harsh lessons from the human condition, teaching about loss and fear insatiable. Loneliness that becomes familiar as a genuine friend. Life reduced to its essential components as if an animal. Each day I scavenge for food, shelter, and will defend myself fiercely unto death if necessary, since I have fallen so far down the tiers of Maslow's hierarchy. Late night beneath a window-framed full moon, I listen to the stormy wind howl through history, passing by amalgams of time and deed, bizarre mammalian evolution, infinitesimal human sentience, and our dangerous intelligence, ashes blown all the way from Adam's hypothesized gene pool unto my uneasy witching hour breath, reluctantly taken in this seedy place of desolation. And there it is, gentlemen.
You know, one thing I love about your work, Philip, is
what?
Your Hemingway-esque brevity.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I am honored. And who did you say? Whose brevity? Do you mind repeating that?
Oh, it's Hemingway-esque.
Hemingway-esque. Oh, well, I'm deeply honored. Oh, Hemingway is one of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely. It was wonderful work, Philip. Really.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate meeting all the fellow poets on this radio show. There's a lot of great work, and I'm just deeply honored and touched. And thank you so much. You all have a good night.
Hey, you too, sir. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right. So, no, and what I'm saying Hemingway-esque, I actually mean Ernest Hemingway. For those of you who know, I happen to have a dog,
right. Yes.
A golden lab named Hemingway.
Yes.
Which is actually, when I first thought of this, it really didn't occur that it was necessarily going to be a great name. But once it really kicks in, it's perfect. And so from here on out, I've decided that I will name all pets after famous authors. But I think I'm going to make a movement towards using full names instead of just a last name. So, you know, I mean, Ian Fleming would be an amazing name for a dog.
It would.
Or a cat. Or a cat. Yeah, well, I mean, F. Scott Fitzgerald would be an amazing name for a cat.
That would be a great name for a cat.
You know, and so, but saying, you know, Ian Fleming, he's walking outside, Ian Fleming! Ian Fleming!
Come here!
And he only responds to Ian Fleming. Ian Fleming.
Wait a minute. Time out. You actually think a cat will respond
to
its name?
No.
F. Scott Fitzgerald would be the
cat.
Ian Fleming would be a dog.
Well, I heard the cat come in.
I'm sorry, that
and,
was me.
You know, and
you did
the
not
cat
hear the
guy.
Cat come in. The cat was silent, and it's barricaded out. By the way,
for good reason.
You know what? Have we lost everybody?
Pretty much.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, let's.
But we still have some poets.
And
left.
We have some poets who are actually going to save the show.
Yes.
So let's go. First of all, let's go to Gregory in California. Hello, Gregory. How are you?
Okay, fair enough. Hey, let's. But we still have some poets. We have some poets who are actually going to save the show.
All right,
so let's go. First of all, let's go to Gregory.
Gregory.
Hey, good evening, guys. How is everyone doing?
We're doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, talking about brevity, I will have one that's kind of short for you tonight.
Okay.
It's called TikTok.
Oh.
And here it goes. Tick-tock, tick-tock. It's winter again, and the nights are long. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Where's the clock? Is it upstairs in the chamber, or is it at Mr. Farrow's shop? For once he gets it in his shop, he never gives it back. Ask Miss Molly. She goes there to visit her cuckoo clock. For when she asks for it, he says, I'm still tinkering with it. I need some more time. I need to get the spring just right. Tick-tock, tick-tock. That's it. Have a good evening.
Gregory, thank you. I really enjoyed that piece, and you're right, it was short. All right, thank you very much. Good evening, Gregory, and great work as always. All right, so we have one more caller in the segment.
Uno más.
Coming all the way from about 20 minutes from the studio. It I'm assuming her location. This is probably a cell phone. We have Sadie on the line. Sadie, are you there?
Hey.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We're terrible. we're wonderful, wow. Actually. We're wonderful. I have a ninja mug with coffee.
You need to lay off the coffee, Michael.
No, I don't.
Not tonight.
No, I don't.
It's not pretty when he lays off the coffee.
Yes, it's true. It's kind of like I'm feeling more and more similarities to Dracula, and I think coffee is just my substitution for human blood.
This is good.
Yeah. Don't lay off the coffee.
See? Exactly.
There are so many problems with that comment, but we'll just go to the poet and let her.
Hey, I'm pale. Okay, anyway. All right.
Anyway.
Sadie, what do you have for us?
I have a short little poem called A Marshmallow's Love Poem.
Okay.
He was sweet. Not the artificial type. Not the type that will make you fall in love. But then you find out behind that front, there is no depth. He was savory. Well-rounded and smooth. A balance of spice and lusciousness. He was sultry, steaming, the kind that drove a girl crazy. When he kissed me, I melted. And so.
Ghostbusters fanfic poetry. I get it.
Wow.
Sadie, that was very nice. Thank you very much. Strange. Why is it so strange?
No, the Ghostbusters fanfic poetry. Sadie's poem,
The Marshmallow
Man.
Awesome.
I got your reference, okay. Michael.
Okay. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
He heard one bit of it and just held on to it with everything he had.
The fiery marshmallow, and that's all it was.
Oh, yeah. The Stay Puft Man.
I get distracted by marshmallows.
Apparently.
If anybody meets me, they'll be like, hey, yeah, really nice. Oh, a bag of marshmallows. That's kind of what happens. Sadie, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for calling and sharing it with us.
Thank you. You guys have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
I love saying that.
See, now we got the Dracula thing going.
The Count.
Oh, well.
It's the Count. That's not the... No.
It's your Dracula.
Well, that's not really Dracula. Okay, hey.
Blah, blah, blah.
You have listened to three... Poets, we're in the third segment.
I know.
Three poets in the third segment. What? On World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh my God.
It's weird releasing the bird every time, though.
Yeah, and what's going to be funny is you can just record me going, oh my God, and just put that at the end, too.
Yeah, but I think that can be taken out of context.
Yeah.
Only in your head. This is not after dark.
No, definitely not.
In my head, it's always after dark.
It's just dark.
Now, we have people who are talented at many things in this crew, in the radio crew. And we have one person who has spent so much time and had so much training and put so much work into his craft that it is truly a sight to behold. It's not just poetry. It's an experience. Welcome, the Haiku Master.
Oh, he's a haiku.
Mike Master.
That was my Rush Limbaugh impersonation, in that voice right there.
Hi-ya!
So,
yes,
here we are again.
We are.
Once a week, the Haiku Master sits atop a mountain in the Rockies, not far from where we are. It's plausible. He takes a couple sandwiches with him because you get hungry.
A little peckish.
A little peckish. And for 3 days, he sits in meditation, his mind toiling, twisting and turning, churning, figuring out what the three haikus will be for the week.
This time, on top of the mountain, he had a staring contest with his pet rock and won.
That's pretty hardcore, man. You know what I was doing while you were doing that? Eating marshmallows. I think I win.
Of course.
But we do have the fruits of thy labor. The fruit of the loom of thy labor. In the form of three haikus that do not have a specific or a theme that you will identify. Are they the same theme this week?
Yeah, they are themed.
Okay. If you think you know what they are, put it in the chat room or put it on our Facebook page. You don't win anything except our accolades.
Right.
Bragging rights.
Bragging rights. And maybe a picture of me with my ninja mug.
Which would be awesome.
Which is not really much of a prize at all. But I will hand it now to the Haiku Master. What do you have for us?
All right. Number one. Ooh. Based on a woman. Reminder, something stupid. Two men died fire.
Two men died fire?
And yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You got me all. That was like, flummoxed. What?
Yeah, it's this fake beard I put on. I know. You have a weak spot for Cossacks. All right. Number two.
Number two. The King of the Blues. Father of 15 children. Hall of Fame, rock blues.
I think I can make a guess on what that one is.
Probably.
And what about number three?
Duet with U2. Toyota commercial. Diabetic 2.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. So can I just put the cat out of the bag? Because I think it's pretty obvious.
It's obvious.
All right. Our thoughts also go out to B.B. King's family.
Yes.
And we want to thank him for an amazing career.
Yes.
Amazing work. And for filling our lives with music for his entire life. That was something that I really think was a worthwhile goal. And in fact, really quickly, just since we're kind of at this moment, you know me, as a musician, as someone who's done it, I've really struggled with the idea of the place that art has in society. We've talked about this.
Yes.
And one of the things that has always bothered me is saying, okay, you can play music, you can write something, whatever. But in reality, like, what does that really do? I mean, you could be a nurse, you could be a doctor, you could be there physically creating an effect. And I've had time and time again these things come back at me and prove to me that that's not right. And one thing that really occurred to me reading about World War II was hearing about how in the Eastern Front there are these Russians, a Russian company that had someone with an amazing singing voice in their company, and he would sing and entertain all of them, and they would always make sure he had a cup of tea and that his throat was warm, because that was a big thing. And one night he was sick and he didn't sing, and they got a radio message from the Germans across the line saying, what did you do with your singer? Because they would stop firing to listen.
See?
And at some point, someone had jumped out of the trenches and tossed a new harmonica into the Russian trenches so this guy could have something to accompany. And it was those moments of humanity that I realized that, in a very strange way, that is just as important.
Yes.
And I think B.B. King was a great example of that. And I want to say thank you to him for everything. And I'll be singing one of his songs after our next segment. But before we go to that, I have another submission.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is from Steve Junka again. And this is from Poems of a Soldier. He was not, and once again, he was 20 years old, 1970 in Vietnam. It's called I Might Be a Father. I just left my honeymoon and boarded jet, then off to Vietnam and new people I met. My wife sent letters every day. She told me of news and things she'd say. There was a pause in the letters. A week had gone by. She isn't writing, and I was asking why. Then finally a letter came to me. My wife said a doctor she had gone to see. She thought she might be expecting a bundle of joy. Did I think I would like a girl or a boy? It can't be. I'm just a kid, not ready for grown-up stuff, as I checked my gear before going out into the jungle rough. I guess I want a boy after all, and started to feel 10 feet tall. The next letter, I opened it quick after reading. I felt kind of sick. False alarm, she said, about the baby. And how was your day? What? No baby. But my heart was set. What the hey? Perhaps I'm too young for fatherhood. As I listened to enemy sightings at the guard mount I stood, I thought, I'm still too young to drink or vote, but not too young for this gun to tote. And go off into the jungle and play hide-and-seek. I haven't had a day off in nearly 3 weeks. Maybe it's better off this way after all. And that was from Steve Junke, called I Might Be a Father. It was just another submission sent to us through the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I found... it kind of goes along with the what he did. I found a telegram in a box that my mother had. It was a telegram my mother sent to my father on the USS Bagley that she was pregnant.
Wow!
And then the telegram back of they were off somewhere and and so mail was going to be late and everything, and all it said was thanks for making me a father. So to hear that, it just brought back that telegram.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And how many interactions like that must happen and have happened,
You
know? I mean, those things still happen.
Yeah.
And, and to everybody who has been overseas or has been at war for this country or any other country in any conflict and, and that are out there now, we thank you. And we feel for you, and we hope that all conflicts can, in a real way, come to an end.
For your service.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. So we have just finished the new caller call-in segments. We're about to start the return engagement, which means if you're a new caller, you can call in. If you are a returning caller for the evening and you want to read another poem, you can call in. Raj, if you're listening, try to call. 720-240-9766. That's 720-240-9766. Call now. And we're back.
We are back.
We have returned this engagement, but not the ring, because that we're keeping.
If you like it, then you better put a ring on it.
That's wow, actually, I kind of want to do that dance now.
No, Michael, not in the heels,
dude. You do have
not in the heels.
I want to dance.
Not in the heels.
All right. Not in the heels?
No, because you're doing those kicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It hurt.
All right, guys. So we're back. We're back in the return engagement. So basically, new callers can call in. People who've already called in that want to share another poem, they can call in as well. We have some amazing people lined up. We do have a new caller.
We do.
We have a caller who has never called this show before, but I think he's been present.
I don't know.
In an almost every show we've done.
I don't know.
So let's bring him on. He's from Englewood, Colorado. Let's bring on J. Todd. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, unless you're French and you even pronounce it Jetad.
Jetad!
Jetad! I like that.
Much more classic.
What the hell, guys? I go away for 1 week's evening. Mike, get your feet off the table. JT, quit scratching yourself. Get out there! Spread out and make yourselves at home. What the hell?
I guess I just put my pants back on.
On a very serious note, guys, I don't know what's been said or anything. I just want to say thank you for picking up the slack where I had to leave off. You guys are amazing. I wouldn't want to work with anybody else in the business.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Well, thank you.
And we're our thoughts are with you, man.
Thank you. So I've got one. I want to keep things kind of light. I've got one that I'd like to share. I wrote it actually last week, and I had so many other poems to share that this got skipped. And JT, you might notice some of the phraseology in this. It comes from I stole a line or two from my mother.
Aha.
This is entitled, It's Gotta Be Rock and Roll Music. Hmm. Whether it's good times and great oldies, or the cutting edge that's new on the scene, from the recent songs back to the moldy, every single rockin' tune in between, there's nothing like the rock and roll music that makes you tap your toes, get up and dance, play it on electric guitar or acoustic, 60s acid rock or modern day trance. Infectious rhythms and their catchy hooks make the music that moves your very soul, a pounding beat and guitar that cooks, the very essence of our rock and roll. With each note, part of my spirit is struck, from Bruno Mars on back to One Riff Chuck.
I love it, man. Good stuff. Hey, you are sorely missed, man.
You guys are amazing. Keep up the good work, and we will see you next week.
We'll see you then, buddy. You're missed here, and I know by everybody else. We're looking forward to having you back.
Michael looks very weird sitting in your chair, my friend.
Well, you know, my butt's so big that, yes, he probably does look so big. He's so weird in my chair.
I'm not going there.
I was trying to be. Oh, never mind.
Just like Michael has big shoes to fill, I've got a big
shoot, and I got to fill his shoes next week.
It's 2 weeks, actually.
2 weeks. Okay, good.
It's not filling his shoes that's the problem. It's getting that foam rubber nose to stay on.
You know, someone once told me if I bought large shoes, girls would like me more, but it hasn't worked out very well.
Hey, on a very serious note, I love each and every one of you guys. You guys are amazing.
Love you too, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
You want to say it?
So that he doesn't.
Yeah. That was J. Todd Underhill calling for the very first time on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. You know, this really was his baby.
Yeah.
You know, in many when I used to perform, we used to perform all around town, and we would hear in the back of the audience, you know, people would applaud after the end of the song. No, and then you'd hear J. Todd's voice come out over the crowd. I want your love child!
Oh, I thought...
So great.
But the best part is World Poetry Open Mic is his love child.
Yes.
And we all have it.
I thought you were going to yell what I heard him.
Freebird!
No. He never yelled Freebird.
No, that was everybody else.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and then
the amount of times I have heard that yelled is ridiculous. Anyway, so let's move on. Let's move on to Steve from New York.
Oh.
He is back.
Good evening again.
Good evening again, sir.
Pardon me.
And the fade out.
Hello.
Hola.
You're here.
All right.
Playing your music.
I was just being thrown off by that virgin caller before me.
He seemed like he knew what was going on, though. He was very confident.
I'm not going to say a word.
He takes the fifth.
I'll just... You got to treat the newbies kindly.
Yes, yeah, that you do.
Kid gloves.
That's true.
Although I was very happy that when this virgin caller just called, he also had the 10 seconds of crickets before the applause.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it made me feel so much better.
You should see what it looks like when JT is scrambling to hit all the buttons. And I kind of just sit here and look at him like, Anytime, sweetheart. Anytime you want to get it done. And he's moving as fast as he can. I can't even do it that fast.
Now, is that exactly what you say?
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah.
JT?
Yes, sir.
Although I am not admitted to practice in the state of Colorado, I just want to let you know that being called sweetheart by an employer in your workplace environment is actionable.
Okay.
And I'll only take a third of the recovery.
Oh, sweet.
You mean I can't call you sweetheart?
Well, you're my wife.
Oh.
You're not my employer.
Oh, well, I don't know. Employer?
No.
Losing ground, Steve. I'm sure you could make that one work, right?
Hey, you don't have to call me darling.
That's right.
You just got to pay me a third.
Don't call me by my name.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's right.
Anyway.
I knew his reference was Conway Twitty. So.
That's because I'm from Southern Queens. That's
where that accent came from.
Oh. If you wanted to hear South Brooklyn, it'd be, you don't call me by my effing name, so I don't.
That's right.
I hope young Chris is still listening, because
the youngster
this
is, yes.
Follows up on his one from earlier today. It is called The Discovery in St. Francis.
Oh.
As an altar boy, I knelt before the rows of beeswax candles, arranged in columns and lines, as if an army of prayerful soldiers, a company of hopes and fears flickering in platoon formation, casting shadows upon the cold marble walls that glowed like a coat of many colors as the summer Sunday light filtered through the stained glass saints, while I held the censer with fragrant smoke arising perfume to heaven, and in the benediction I realized to achieve the bliss of forgiveness, the need for sacred sin.
Crickets! I don't have that sound yet. I'm working on it.
Steve, that was a great piece. Really enjoyed
you
that.
Have
thank
you have a kerplunk, but
yes.
You don't
no,
have a cricket.
I have
hey, guys.
I'm sorry.
Save it.
Sorry.
Save it.
Sorry, Steve.
For the locker room. Okay.
You know what? He doesn't have a cricket, and he doesn't have a Buddy Holly.
You know? It's true, but he does have glasses. And I have a ninja mug. So
oh,
that's enough.
Oh... Thank you so much, Steve. It's so nice to hear from you.
That was great. Thank you again, sir.
Folks, thank you again for everything. Have a wonderful week. And again, prayers for J. Todd's family.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
So
bye.
Wow. So that was Steve Partdue from New York.
Partdue?
Yes. This is his second reading for the night. And now we're going to head for another Partdue.
Partdue?
To Rodney. Partdue. Rodney, are you there?
No, not yet.
Wait.
Now he is.
Hello, Rodney. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, man. Glad to have you back.
I appreciate it.
Great, man. What do you got for us?
You know, it's when I grow up. You ready?
Yes, sir.
It's entitled When I Grow Up. First off, nobody's going to boss me around. ASAP, cowboy up out of this town. Following orders, stay in the past. No doubt adult life's going to be a blast. Yeah, buddy, can't wait till I'm big and tall. Sure, by then, I'll know it all. Glad when I'm too big for these bitches. Sick and tired of cutting all those switches. Own a big old house, drive a fancy car. Fly Hollywood, box office movie star. Do this, stop that, watch behind your ears. Yesterday's history in a few more years. Sing my song, brand new tune. No more restriction being sent to my rooms. Yeah, buddy, can't wait till I'm big and tall. Sure, by then I'll know it all. Glad that I'm too big for these bitches. Sick and tired of cutting all those switches. Own a big old house, drive a fancy car. Fly Hollywood, box office movie star. Being a little kid sure is tough. Changes are definitely in order when I grow up.
That was great, man.
That was really good.
Another solid read. Another solid poem.
Ooh.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I've been nominated for some National Poetry Awards in September. I had said earlier.
That's good, man. No, we're glad you're calling in again. And please keep doing it. That's great. We love having your work on the show. It really adds a different flavor to it.
I sure appreciate it. And I'll definitely do my best to call again next week.
Sounds great, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, I appreciate it. Y'all have a great night.
Hey, you too, sir. Have a great night. Well, that was Rodney. Now, normally, if we're looking at the list of the people who called in, we would have had Mr. Raj Kumar in the spot. We had him lined up. We had him on hold.
We did.
And something happened, and
he fell through.
His call kind of bumped or dropped somehow. I don't think it was on our end, and he had tried calling in, but it was like 2 minutes ago. And so when we had started the segment again, we're trying to make a level playing field. We really want to get Raj in here.
We really
maybe do. If you guys can talk to him about a way that we can, you know, get him through somehow, because I think there's some miscommunication about staying on hold. But I know those a lot of people are in communication with them through message.
Yep.
So hopefully we can work that out for next time. But we're going to move right on ahead. We're going to go back to Connecticut, where the Yankee goes to King Arthur's Court.
Oh.
Barbara, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. So are we, actually. We're outside. Will you let us in?
It depends. Do you have the secret word?
Yes, it's Fidelio, right?
No, mustard.
Oh.
It's mustard?
Mustard.
Really? Where was the...
Onomatopoeia.
No.
No?
Fidelio, it's a
I
lot.
Know what that reference
okay.
is.
Okay, you got the reference?
I got the reference.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did. Hey, Barbara, do you have something that is slightly different than last time, or is this kind of in the vein of the one you shared last time?
This is very different.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever read this on the show, but I may have. It's from April. It's called Fashion. Do you remember me reading something called
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. We had to write, it was for a prompt for Shakespeare, and we had to write a sonnet, and so I wrote this sonnet called Fashion, a modern sonnet. Shall I undress and leave my clothes to slip into those for fashion? Maybe I should paint my toes in the color of my latest passion. Should I walk barefaced into a store and have my look redone? Style my hair in a new coiffure, maybe a zany one for fun? Perhaps I'm aiming too high for my unpretentious life, but magazines make me want to try. Fashion must be followed, no matter the strife. But as I glance at store windows to see what to wear, I'm left in a questionable state, and I'm left with despair, for I know in my heart I will never be a fashion plate. Who cares anymore if the skirt's short or long, as long as the style isn't a sarong?
Barbara, that was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I don't think you've read that one on the show before.
No, I don't think she has.
Yeah. I don't remember.
That was kind of fun. I like doing that. You know, it's Shakespeare. And in the vein of Shakespeare, I just saw this musical, Something Rotten.
Mm.
If it ever gets to Colorado, you should see it. It's really fun.
If Something
it's
Rotten comes to Colorado, we should see it. I believe that's called the Colorado Rockies.
It's all in the vein of Shakespeare.
Okay.
And the songs are all about what if you could put, like, music to Shakespearean kind of thing. It's really fun.
Well, I think it's excellent. In the words of a Shakespearean quote that I just made up, fashion favors the bold. Barbara, thank you very much. We look forward to hearing your work next week.
I think it's a commercial.
It's got to be. It's got to be somewhere. All right.
If not, it is now.
Thank you, Barbara. Have
You're
a wonderful
welcome.
Night.
Always glad to talk to you guys. And as I, J. Todd, you know my thoughts are with you. I've gone through all kinds of family stuff. So stay strong and, you know, remember to take care of yourself. Okay.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now that was Barbara in Connecticut. Is there some state you say as a question all the time? New York?
No, New York's more of a statement.
Washington? Yeah, New York is a statement.
New York is a statement.
California more is like a content sigh. Mm-hmm. California.
Yep.
Unless you're the governor.
True.
That was not a sigh. That was a travesty.
Ugh. A travesty, Your Majesty.
Dun-dun-dun-t.
Which is actually the title of the next album I'm putting out. Anyway, let's go to the other side of the country. Let's go to Washington.
Okay.
We have Leah.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
Yeah, actually, I can hear you pretty well.
Well, that's
good. I haven't talked to you guys for a couple of months now, at least, and it was sad to hear about Jay Todd's family. You know, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, just sending out warm thoughts to him, because he's definitely one of the main hearts and soul, if not the one, for the whole group, which is not putting anybody else down,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of offended now, Leah.
Wow.
We agree.
He's very easily offended. You're fine, my dear.
Yeah, I know. I live in the Pacific Northwest, which is the land of the easily offended.
They are not only in the heights of the country as far as geography-wise, they are also the heights of being easily annoyed and offended. I understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I've noticed being from Chicago that all I have to do is just talk vehemently to somebody just to emphasize a point, and they look very afraid. So.
it's almost like a superpower, though. You can walk in a room and be like, hey, you! And they're like, oh, I don't know.
I feel bad, though. I'm not trying to freak anybody out when I do it. I'm just trying to make a point. So.
Yeah, but Leah, honestly, Leah, let's think about it. Maybe you should start considering freaking people out.
Maybe I should what?
You should start considering actually using it to freak people out.
Yeah. Well,
freak Michael out.
Well, you know, it's just like, just got a long list. Well, this is one that I wrote. It's really great because I wrote it. I sent it to, like, Origins Journal online, and they accepted it to be published the very next day.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I was pretty stunned by it. And so it's going to appear in there, which is kind of cool. Not till the fall, though, so. But it's very cool. And it's called Lactose Intolerant. About my name. I liked my name just fine until the day in fourth grade when I discovered that it meant wild cow in Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. The book was a thick tome with golden-edged pages that was stuffed with an unimaginable quantity of words, and it sat on a wooden podium in the back of the classroom with its covers spread open invitingly. This new edition contained every word in the English language, including proper nouns, names, and their origins. Leah was at the upper right-hand corner of the 682nd page, so its presence was impossible to miss. One of my sharp-eyed classmates spotted it one day during an odious class assignment which involved looking up obscure words while thumbing through the dictionary's heavy pages and then painstakingly copying definitions onto pieces of lined notebook paper. Discovering that my name had a bovine connotation was more interesting than homework, and this fascination blossomed into a terrible flower until my arrivals at school in the mornings were always welcomed by ritual choruses of mooing that only ceased when the teachers yelled for silence. My classmates asked what flavor of milk I was giving, and sometimes I played along, said plain or chocolate, or no, I wasn't giving milk because I wasn't actually a cow. Finally, I transferred to another school where they didn't use Webster's Dictionary, and the mooing ceased, but it was years before I learned to like cows or could even hear the word cow without thinking of my name. That's it.
You know, I remember at one point a girlfriend of mine was really interested in finding out what her last name meant. And it turned out it meant a piece of earth held up by a stick.
And
her last name. And she was very underwhelmed, to say the least. But there wasn't a bovine connotation.
Yeah. It's really weird though when you find out what your name actually means and the origin of your name. Because I mean, the other thing about Leah was that she was Jacob's wife in the Bible,
right?
Yep.
And he really wanted to marry her sister Rachel because she was the beautiful one, but they wanted to get Leah married off, so they got Jacob really drunk. You made him had a fake wedding. This is all in the Bible, mind you. Fake wedding, conned him into marrying. Did the whole thing where it looked like he was actually marrying Rachel, and then got him really drunk and like threw Leah in the tent with him. And he couldn't see who it was.
Can you imagine
and then he
this?
Woke up and he's like, "Oh, it's you."
Well, you know,
and they're like, "Fooled you."
Well, you know, that's why they put veils. That's why they used to put the veils on the
brides.
That's
why they used to put veils on the brides?
Because you didn't know which sister you were getting, and you were going, "Oh, come on, number three. Come on, number three. Oh, number six.
All right, so here's an actual Shakespearean quote that I believe that I'm going to stick with forever.
Oh, no.
I will die a bachelor.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to keep.
I believe that one. All right.
Well, you never know. You never know for sure.
I've said it before. I'll say it again.
It was great talking to you guys.
Hey,
I'll let you get on to like another poet now.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Leah. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Boy. Whew. Got cows and wives and all kinds of crazy stuff happening around here.
Well, it's okay.
Okay.
Not the same thing.
I was
going to
say, you
got to
go in the same sentence. That's dangerous here.
Yeah. Why is that? It's not dangerous because they're not the same thing. Cows are actual cows. It's an actual animal. Wives are women, theoretically.
People.
Because a wife can be.
Do you need a ladder to get out of the hole you're digging?
I don't really feel like I'm in a hole. I feel like I'm flying high. I'm flying on the way to Michigan, where Chris is waiting to finish up the segment.
Da, da, da.
Chris, are you there, sir?
Well, I was going to do a cover of B.B. King.
Ah.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Can you hear us, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Okay, well, I thought I lost you for a minute.
Nope. Yeah.
Anyway,
no.
Like I said, I was going to do a cover of B.B. King. You can hear it in the background. I was even going to sing a little bit.
All right.
You hear him?
Yep.
Yep, you know that song, Hummingbird. However, I promised Raj last week that if he didn't get through, I'd cover him. And then his poem got to me too late to actually cover him last week. So I tried this week. And as you guys said, he dropped off. Problems happen. But I've still got his poem. And I appreciate B.B. King. I really do, man. This genius, giant. And I love him. Mm. But I promised Raj that I'd do a cover for him. So this is the poem that he was meaning to read last week. He emailed it to me. So this is from Raj Kumar Mukherjee. It's called A Prayer in Unison. Feelings embedded in souls seldom come out. Subconscious surface to the fore. On the wings of words, like spring flowers in an oasis. You call them poetry. It's no question of practice alone. Sharpening the brushes for clear lines, presenting a mosaic, Arabian carpet, a collage of colors, paints, techniques of rhythm, rhyme, metaphor, alliteration, imagery. You know the difference between the original thoughts flowing out of pure joy, pain, and the anguish. A practiced vocabulary, a copycat. In ultimate analysis, it's just an ordinary poetry. I adore your words, dear poet. Let your bold critiques guide us. Teach us to decipher the articulations, the awareness of poesy, ever a mystery. In this hour when dying sun's colors paint the sky with a borderline of night's wings, let our prayers in unison move to the horizon, from the Ganges to the prairies, to give you strength to fight the coward disease, days in, days out. And I add to the end of this, amen.
Wow.
Raj Kumar Mukherjee, good man, good man.
Absolutely.
And I honor my promises.
Chris, thank you for doing that, and I'm sure Raj thanks you as well.
That was good. That was good. Guys, you had a great show. I appreciate the lady, JT's wife, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you.
Come back. Don't let them keep you out.
She'll be, well, hey, we're not keeping people off our purpose.
You add to the mix.
Well, in a couple weeks from now, I'm not going to be on the air, and she will be here in my place. With Jay Todd as leading the show, so
well, hopefully the time will come when she won't have to be there in anybody's place.
Hey,
you know, how much does a chair cost? I'll make a contribution.
Well, if people are offering, all right, hey Chris, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You guys take care. I wish you would play a B.B. King song before you guys sign off.
Well, you know, that's going to come true, actually. We're about ready to head to Studio X, and after the intermission, there will be a B.B. King song.
Ta-da!
Way cool. Do it, man.
All right.
He had some beauties.
He sure did, man. He sure did. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
You
bye,
too.
Chris.
Bye. Good night. Take care now.
All right, and that was Chris calling us from Michigan. He's one of our longest supporters, and that is the end of the return engagement segment. So what we're going to do now is we've packed up the hover cart. Christine's been working on it silently. You're really good at being quiet.
I'm a ninja. I'm a ninja.
Stealth. You married a ninja, dude? Do you realize how scary that is?
Yeah.
No, I'm a nurse, so I have to sneak up on my patients.
You're a nurse-ja?
I'm a nurse ninja.
That's terrible. Why isn't there an anime?
I get to go to Studio X.
Why isn't there an anime about that? Okay.
There probably is somewhere.
Actually,
careful.
Kill Bill. She's dressed like a nurse.
I've never seen it.
She is, but that's...
And she's a ninja, technically.
Dun-dun-dun.
See? Hey, guys, let's go to Studio X. I'm going to play a couple songs, and we're going to call it an evening, huh? What do you say?
All right.
What kind of evening are you going to
call
it?
We'll head there now. A good one. Ah.
Woohoo!
That was fast.
I love it.
So fast.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey,
I know.
It's Andy.
Yep.
Well, it's,
What's left of him. Wow.
I put a hat on him.
You know, we could totally dress him up for each of, like, the holidays. Do, like, the little green outfit for, like, St. Patty's Day.
Well, you know, I feel a little remiss saying this, but seeing the fact that we do have a skeleton hanging on the wall in here, I know it's a little weird for me to get judgmental, but that's weird as hell, dressing him up for holidays.
No, it's not.
Really? I feel like a skeleton should just stay naked.
Well, you just put, like, a hat on him or an orange beard for... Right?
Oh, you know, that's a good point.
Just
you know,
I
took one of those personality tests, you know, like that, you know, INFP or whatever. Mine came out PERV. I didn't even realize that was an option.
Pac-Man.
No, terrible joke.
Okay. Bad joke.
It was a really bad joke.
Okay, so.
J. Todd, do not touch the Hadron Collider.
That's right.
Well, I'm not J. Todd, so.
Please don't touch it.
But I'm not J.
Todd. If you end the universe, I'm going to be so mad.
How would you know?
All right, I'm going to play a song now.
Okay, you do that.
This is a very famous song, played by B.B. King, in honor of the master. So I hope I can do this any semblance of justice.
thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. No, you done me wrong. You'll be sorry someday. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. But I'll still live on, baby. But so lonely I'll be. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone for good. The thrill is gone, baby. It's gone away for good. Someday I know I'll be open on, baby, like I know I should. I'm free now, baby. I'm free from your spell. Free, 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 free now, baby. I'm free from your spell. But now it's over, all I can do is wish you well. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. No, you done me wrong, but you'll be sorry someday.
All right. Woo! Ooh, thank you. All right. Put that lighter out. You do not know what chemicals are at work here. In Studio X.
But it was
I know,
special.
He's such a party pooper, isn't
it
he?
It was a special lighter.
Oh, it's a special lighter?
It's a special lighter.
What makes it special?
It's magic.
Okay. All right, so we're going to try another song here.
We're going to try another one.
I've never done this before.
Uh-oh.
I've never done that other one before, too.
That's true.
Right? That was beautiful.
You did good.
Thank you.
I liked it.
This is not from B.B. King, but from someone he did a duet with. Wish me luck.
By the specters that we had to see. Yeah, I wanted to be the melody for the lawyers from the hood. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new. We were pilgrims on our way.
Beautiful. got language so we can communicate, religion so I can love and hate, music so I can exaggerate my pain, give it a name. I was young, not dumb, just missing to be blinded by you, brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way.
I could see you trying to work the sound there. I was trying.
I know.
I was leaning back.
I know you were.
All right.
I can tell.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show, to whatever that just was. And
it was music.
We really appreciate you listening to the show and supporting the show, sharing your work, building this community we have together. We missed you, J. Todd. Look forward to having you back. We want to see you all again next week. Thanks so much for listening. This has been World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Good night to J. Todd, your family, and in the words of J. Todd, good night, Robert Moreland, wherever you are.